33rd Psalm, verse number 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh down from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of the Bible. And Lord, as we take a few minutes, dear God, and think about our country and then spend some time praying for our country, I would ask, Lord, dear God, for that grace that we sang about, and it has been mentioned so often, the songs that we sang together this morning. Lord, I would pray for that extended grace, dear God, that great unmerited favor, that mercy that you bestow upon this nation. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help our country. And in many ways, dear God, the soul of America is sick. And yet, Lord, we can say also, dear God, that there is this wonderful, bright, shining remnant. And it seems like no matter how dark it gets, Lord, there's always those who carry the light. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to be faithful. And I pray for our country. I pray for revival. I pray for salvation to come into the hearts of every single citizen, Lord. I just pray, dear God, that you'll continue to bless our nation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you very much. You may be seated. And we're going to focus on verse number 12 and 13, which is our memory verse for this month. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. The verses in this book that you have, the verses of the Bible are the Word of God, and they have the ability to change somebody's life. I mentioned this briefly in Sunday school, but let me just kind of help all of us. One of the greatest ways that you can be a blessing to people around you is simply by sharing Bible verses with them. I really mean that. You know, sometimes we'll see somebody that's a bit discouraged, and we go over it with our own words and try to do what we can, and that's good and that's right. But there's something about taking a verse that is meaningful to someone who's facing a situation where they need that verse, and just speaking the Word of God to somebody. I mentioned in Sunday school, I have no promise that the words of Jerry Ross are not going to return void, but we have promise that the Word of God will not return void. Right. So what I say to them may or may not make a difference, but if I give them the Bible, I get a chance to, listen, literally change their life, help them get through a difficult situation. Sometimes I've met people that are defeated, and you know, Christians get beat down. Come on, I've been there. All right, anybody else help me out? Okay, sometimes Christians get beat down too, and you know, I'll find somebody that's going through that, and maybe they just feel like, you know, I can't live this, and it's just too hard, and you know, it just seems like every time I try, all I do is fail. And to be able to go to them and share a verse like Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth seven times, and riseth up again, and just say, hey, listen, you know, we all stumble, we all fall, sometimes we all get beat down. Get up. Get back up. Okay. Can't undo tomorrow. Can't do a thing about it. But you, yesterday, you can't undo yesterday. Can't do undo it at all. Do a thing about it. But you got tomorrow. And by the way, you got today. And so a just man, that's not a bad man. That's not an evil man. That's a man that's trying. And so sometimes we see somebody that's defeated, and that one verse might grab a hold of their heart and be what helps them to get back up on their feet. Sometimes I've come to people, met with people that are in a time of doubting. Have you ever had your faith shaken? I mean, something comes into your life and it begins to, you begin to question your faith. You begin to question God. You begin to wonder, is this real? Is this right? And if God truly is my Heavenly Father, why is He asking me to go through this? And then, you know, we all been there. And then somebody comes along with Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. And see, that's where we get. We try to understand, so we try to figure it out. We try to rationalize. God says, sometimes I'm doing something that I can't explain to you. I need you to trust me, right? I'm just talking about giving somebody a verse that gives them hope and helps them get through a difficult situation. Now watch this, folks. Listen to me, you're not going to have those verses if you don't memorize the Bible. You're not always going to have the Word of God with you. And so these verses that have been meaningful in your life and helped you, it's amazing. You say, preacher, I didn't even really actively work that hard at memorizing this verse. And yet when I need it, God gave me it and brought it to, come on, and brought it to mind. And I was able to quote something that I'm not sure I'll be able to quote tomorrow. God will help you be a blessing to people, but help them through the Word of God. You ever seen people that get overtaken by the spirit of fear and it just grips their life? And I said this in Sunday school, or maybe I said it, I don't know. I preached twice, Sunday school announcements. Now this is my third time. And so I don't know when I said it, but I'm gonna tell you something. I'll be honest with you. One of the prayers that I've prayed a lot this past weekend is for our country and for God to protect it. You know, 250th anniversary, there's a lot of people that hate America. More than we understand. I mean, have a murderous hatred for America. And I thought 250th anniversary. And I thought, you don't think there's people out there that wouldn't like to change the entire narrative? I mean, come on. It wasn't that long ago we had a couple of crazies take over planes. All right. I mean, those folks haven't gone away. And so beginning of the week, I just begin to pray. God, protect us from the evil intents of men. Just protect us through this celebration. Protect us through this weekend. You say, preacher, so far nothing's happened. I know. I think maybe I'm not the only one praying that prayer. Amen. I think a lot of people that have a Christian worldview understand that there is a spiritual battle that is greater, and by the way, has been going on longer than any war or skirmish or conflict that you can point to. And so sometimes we get the spirit of the fear. Sometimes we're just controlled by it, where we can't get up. We can't do anything for God. We're afraid to make a decision. And then I thought back in some of my cancer journey, how dear Psalms 121 came to me. You say, preacher, were you afraid sometimes? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're all human. But all of a sudden, these words, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Hey, He made heaven and earth, spoke it all into existence. That was mentioned in this chapter, if you were paying attention. And so if He's the one that's going to come to my help, I think He's got the power to do it, you know. And then I think about 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. All right, that's the introduction. But I want you as Bible-believing Christians to be Bible-speaking Christians. And you know, you'll see a situation. I'll hear about a situation, and I'll think about a verse. I'll hear that somebody's going through somebody, and I'll think, you know what? I need to share that verse with them. Many times, especially the years I was pastoring up at Brazil, Indiana, I would go and pray with somebody before surgery, and I'd always take a little piece of paper with two or three Bible verses with me, and I'd go into where they were prepping them, and they're waiting to go in, and I'd pray with that person, and I'd hand them that piece of paper, and it would have just Bible verses, not just a couple Bible verses. And you know what? Had one lady, when they wheeled her in, put her to sleep, she had that paper, and she said, Doc, don't let that paper come out of my hand. And I visited her months later, and I saw on her mantle a crumbled up little piece of paper. Hey, what was it? Just Bible verses. But for that moment, she needed those Bible verses to cling to because she was going through a thing that was causing her great fear and anxiety. So let's share the Bible. Now, Why did you go through all that? Because I guess this morning I'm going to call the sermon. Let me look at it again. I get it right. I changed the title about four times. So three Bible verses for America. Okay, I sat there and watched everything that I watched. And we had the TV on and off and looked at some of the different celebrations going around our country. And I guess I had the same thought that I had in that hospital room. I had that same thought when I saw a discouraged man. I had the same thought when I saw a defeated man. And what's the same thought? Maybe not the same verses, but the same thought. I wish I could share three verses with America. I think America needs three verses. So we're going to look at them real quick, all right? One, two, three. I did already part of the sermon and the announcements, so I should be able to handle this. Psalms 33, verse 12. I'd love to share this with America. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Whose God is the Lord. God is looking for any nation on the face of this earth that will declare him to be God, and he will come to their aid. He will give them blessings. He says, that's how you receive blessings. You say, God bless America. Well, how about America bless God? How do you do that? Make him the God of our nation. Don Fetter said this, the Bible was as much America's founding document is the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution. The founding fathers believed in liberty, equality before the law. Representative government came from Sinai. That's where Moses got the Ten Commandments. The Constitution is a covenant reflecting a much older covenant. George Washington said it's the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits and humbly to implore his protection and favor. And let me say, folks, read about the Revolutionary War, read some history. Miracles happened to allow this country to be birthed. And I think God's seen a group of men, not perfect men, but a group of men that said, why don't we just build a nation where we make the God of the Bible the God of our country? And you know what God did? He just opened the windows and performed miracles. And we won battles we shouldn't have won. And men endured things they shouldn't have endured. I mean that. You ought to read 1776. Read the book. Just that one year. McCullough's the last one. You remember? Yeah, McCullough wrote that book. Just read that one book. It starts on January 1st and it's on December 31st. And read the book. And you know, you'll close it and say, you know what? We wouldn't have this if it wasn't for God. Incredible. Say, preacher, why this verse? Why, if you had all of America in one place, say, let me share three verses. Why this one? You know, because if we're going to continue to be a free people, a blessed people, a prosperous people, then we need to make sure that the God of the Bible, not some false God, not a bunch of little G gods, the God of the Bible is our God. Dwight D. Eisenhower, President Dwight D. Eisenhower said this, the Bible is endorsed by the ages. Our civilization is built upon its words, and no other book is there such a collection of inspired wisdom. Abraham Lincoln said, I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to men. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book. Did you understand? He just acknowledged Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. President Grover Cleveland almost admit that the reception of the teachings of Christ results in the purest patriotism, the most scrupulous fidelity to public trust, and in the best types of citizenship. I love Patrick Henry. I think this quote needs to be everywhere. He said, It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was not founded by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, peoples of other faiths have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom of worship. The founding fathers got together and said, let's make a nation, and let's make sure if we're going to create this nation, that God, the God of the Bible, is the God of our country. Right. And folks, listen to me. From the beginning till now, that has been attacked over and over and over and over again, and now more openly than ever. And yet we need Every single American citizen needs to stand up and say, the God of this book is my God, without apology. And I think when God hears enough voices say that, he looks down and says, yeah, they've got problems, but you know what? There's a remnant. Let's just bless that nation. That's the way to do it. Proverbs chapter 14, we'll go to the second verse. Turn over, if you will, to Proverbs chapter number 14 in your Bible and look at verse number 34. Three verses for America. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 34. Oh, this would help our country to hear it. Preacher, if you had a chance to talk to all of America, just share three verses. Type it out on a little piece of paper like you gave that lady and give it to every American to look at. Well, if you could do that, what's verse number two? Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now, folks, listen to me. There's things that we can do as Americans that will exalt our nation. And there's things that we can do as Americans that will destroy our nation. Are you thinking about this? Well, what is the thing that will exalt our nation? Righteousness. Righteousness. Patrick Henry said this, bad men cannot make good citizens. It is when a people forget God that tyrants forge their chains. Hey, you know what? It was founded and centered around God and his word. But I'm afraid the farther we drift from that, Patrick Henry's words are calling us back. Hey, listen, do you hear the sounds of the hammer hitting the steel and the anvil? Because the chains of tyrants are being forged every time we drift farther and farther from the word of God and from worshiping God. Think about that. These are powerful words. Ronald Reagan said the founding fathers believed that faith in God was the key to our being a good people, a good people. Chief Justice Moore, to restore morality, we must first recognize the source from which all morality springs. From our earliest history in 1776, when we were declared to be the United States of America, our forefathers recognized the sovereignty of God, of God. Ronald Reagan also said this, while America's military strength, boy, we've seen a lot of that on display this week, and we did, but think about what he said. While America's military strength is important, let me add here that I've always maintained that the struggle now is going on for the world will never be decided by bombs or rockets, by armies of military might. The real crisis we face today is a spiritual one. At root, it is a test of morality and faith. And as I said, folks, there's a battle going on. Let me just kind of remind you. There's a battle going on. There's evil. And there's righteousness. You say, preacher, how can I be a good America? Make sure that God is your God. How can I be a good America? Choose to do right, even when you could have done wrong. Because right, listen, I'm talking about God. It says in our text here, God beholds the sons of men. And he's given us a formula here. Do you want to be blessed? Do you want me to stand up on your behalf? Do you want to be protected? All right, then don't change the God of this Bible and substitute it for a fake, false little G God. Yeah. And folks, there are factions of people that are coming into our nation. Now think about what they're doing, because it's not illegal, but they are taking over large segments or cities where they can now vote in whoever they want to vote in, and they are voting in people. There are people sitting in Congress. There are people sitting in the United States Senate and the United States House of Representatives that worship false little g gods. And we're in trouble. We're in trouble. This Supreme Court decision, one of the dumbest, amen, one of the most illogical. I mean, what in the world? If you're born here, you're an American. I mean, they are now in China. There's 10 different, already since this thing was decided, 10 different companies that are willing to put pregnant ladies on planes, come in on a tourist visa, have the babies. We'll probably pay for it, fill out the paperwork, fly them back to China. I mean, listen, yeah, what if we get 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000, 60,000? All of a sudden they're voting American. And our Supreme Court said, yes, that makes sense. Yeah, let's make sure that's okay. What are you saying, preacher? What I'm saying is this, folks, listen to me. These people do not recognize God of the Bible, and they are not coming here seeking salvation. They are coming here so that they can begin to turn and sway a nation. Think about this. Wow. So we've got a lot we're facing. We've got a lot that we need to pray about. America, let me just give you an admonition, okay? I'll give you three verses. Let me live righteously. I mean, whatever happened to them, and we have a lot of it in small town America. We have so much of it where I just watch the average man look at a situation, the average woman look at a situation, instead of walking by on the other side, just do the right thing. Just do the right thing. I know it's not everybody, but I think the minority of people that don't do that, I sometimes they get too much attention. I walk around. I live in this area. I don't know how many times I've just seen somebody just do something because it was the right thing to do. Nobody knew it. Didn't know I was watching. Listen, let me tell you something. That matters to God. Well, preacher, that one little act of kindness didn't make a difference. You don't know if it did or not. And what we're showing God is, listen, we want you to be the God of the Bible, Jehovah God, Jesus Christ. Come on, triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We want you to be the God of our nation. And by the way, if righteousness exalts my nation, then I'm going to do the right thing. Hey, the right thing, guys, is to get up and go to work. Amen. That's the right thing. Yes, sir. The right thing isn't to mooch off everybody else. Yeah. Okay? Come on. The right thing is to clean your language up. Yes, sir. Come on now. The right thing is to stop using God's name in vain. Yes, sir. Better read that the Ten Commandments. I mean, God says that's not use the name of the Lord in vain. Then it goes on to say, God will not hold him guiltless that useth his name in vain. It may not be a big deal. This OMG, everybody's texting to each other. That's using God's name in vain. And God said, I'm not going to hold you guiltless over that. What he's saying is, I'm going to bring judgment in your life because you're, listen, we just do the right thing. Do the right thing. Okay, you're walking, come on. I sometimes laugh. I know people think I'm crazy, but I'm not going to walk by three shopping carts on the way into a store to get a shopping cart to bring it to the outside so now somebody's got more work to do. Well, what if we all just did the right thing? I'm not going to walk down the aisle and see something that's fallen on the floor and not reach down and pick it up. I'm not going to walk through the church and see a piece of paper on the ground. Well, this is no big deal. It's the right thing to do. Do right, do right, do right, live righteously. Not what is right in your eyes, but what God deems right, what God says is right. If the God of the Bible is going to be the God of America, then we ought to seek counsel from his word and let it teach us what is right and what is wrong. And when we are a nation, we're raising children in Sunday school, they grew up and they had a moral compass. Daniel Webster said this, whatever makes men good Christians makes them good citizens. Amen. Amen. Think about that. Alex de Tocqueville, I want you to, you've probably heard this quote before, but he's a French author. He came to visit America and heard so many wonderful things about America he wanted to see with his own eyes. He said this, I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her commodious harbors and her ample rivers, and it was not there. So I sought for the greatness in her fertile fields and boundless forests, and it was not there. In her rich mines and her vast world commerce, and it was not there. I sought for greatness in the genius of America and her democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution. It was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness, then I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. Here's somebody that came across the seas. Have you watched any of those videos from all of the people that's come from all over the world to attend the World Cup and it for the first time being held in the United States of America? And they are listening to liberal media in each of their countries, and they have painted America as this terrible, horrible, wicked place. And yet there are, I'm not kidding. There are thousands and thousands of videos being posted by people that have come over the World Cup, and they're walking around in awe, and they can't believe that this is America, and this is how these people get to live. I mean, one of the funniest ones, and there's several of them, watch some of them go visit Bass Pro Shop. I mean, that's worth the watch right there. Guy stands outside the doors. You ever seen the doors? And he's like, in an accent I'm not going to try to mimic, okay? Why do they need doors so big? Is the people so tall? Whoa. I mean, this is not what they're hearing about America. I mean, there's a man that was out there, and it was dusk. It was after dark, and he's walking down in a major city, and he's going through a park area, and he's like, I just can't believe it. There are women walking by themselves. There are people that have their phones out, and they're talking. And you know what would happen in our country if somebody was doing that? Someone would beat them up and take their phone or harm that lady. And it just, I can't believe it. These people are happy. These people are prosperous. These people have a joy about them. They're hospitable. Listen, the wicked, wicked world has tried to paint this place because of a handful of things that happen, by the way, which we should be ashamed of. And we should correct. And we should not tolerate. But these people are walking around and just saying, do y'all know what you got here? Folks, you realize we're one generation from losing that? If we get enough of these children, most kids in America are not being raised in church. So how are they going to make the God of the Bible their God? How are they going to ever make that choice? How are they going to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior if they are never exposed to church or the Word of God? Amen. Right. But good, there's a lot of kids here. And there's a lot in the fifth and sixth grade. And there's a lot over in junior church. And there's a lot in primary church. What are you doing? Oh, well, somebody said, you're brainwashing them. Hey, our brains need washed. There's enough filthiness, come on, and wickedness is being pumped into the minds of Americans. Thank God you can come to church. It's like going through the crew car wash, amen, with the windows down. Just somewhere we got to get the truth. Somewhere we got to get cleaned up. Somewhere there's got to be a voice that says, listen, stop listening to all the lies. I wish we could invite the whole, every citizen of the world to come over here, not to stay, to come over here. I don't care if some of them stay if they do it the right way, amen. Because at one time, one of your forefathers was an immigrant. Don't forget that. Don't get haughty. Do it the right way. But man, I'm glad. And I don't care about the World Cup. I mean, soccer. I got to tread lightly here. I'm not sure I get it. If the final score in the average soccer match was like 8-12, I'd watch it. I am not watching 0-0 and then they kick at each other at the end to see who. I'm not watching. Come on. And listen, come on. American football. American football. I mean, you get a good hit on a guy. I mean, a good hit. Knocks his helmet off. I mean, a good hit. You don't get a red card. You get the opening slot on SportsCenter. That's what you get, man. American football. Come on. They're running around. They don't even have pads on. That tells me nothing fun's going to happen. Anyway. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Let me give you this third verse. Wow. I'm trying to figure it out. No, really, I'm not. I don't think I've ever watched a soccer game in my life. So if you play soccer, you love soccer, let me tell you something, so do I. If you hate it, so do I. All right. I could go either way on that. Second Chronicles 7:14. I could preach a whole sermon here and I won't. We're closing it down. But just listen to it. Now, wait a minute, preacher, you said every American, yeah? I'd love to take the first two. I'd like to take all of America, and share the first two verses with them. But you know, this third one, honestly, only applies to people that have been saved. Yeah. born-again Christians. Because I think, folks, we could say what we want to all American citizens, and it's only going to have a certain effect. But if we're truly saved, come on, you're part of that remnant. God says, I'm going to give you, listen, he's going to give a verse to us that if we would obey it, would allow us to see a revival. And so for the third verse, it's almost like, thank you all for coming. If you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, gather in. And by the way, a lot more people than I think most people realize. There's a lot of born-again Christians in the United States of America. And then just say, let me share the third verse. If my people, that's why I had to dismiss the rest of, if my people, God's not talking to the lost people. God's not talking to those who've never been saved. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then shall I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. I love this last phrase, and will heal their land. And so we need to kind of gather together and say, yeah, preacher, I can look outside of the realm of Christianity and I can point out this problem in America and I can point out this problem and I can talk about this group and I can talk about that group. But you know what? They're not going to dictate the last chapter of America. If America gets judged, the reason it's going to happen is because judgment must start at the house of the Lord. And listen, what a great momentous occasion. I've loved celebrating 250th anniversary. I mean, I loved it. I just bought into it. But I think it's a great time for God to just shine the light on us and for us to look up to him and just say, Lord, is there anything that isn't right between me and you? Lord, we need your help. You say, preacher, you spent a lot of time this week just praying for America. I did a lot of time just praying for America. You know why? Because this verse tells me that there's a secret. There's a secret formula. There's a power in that. Well, I'm just one voice. Yeah, but don't underestimate the number of Christian people there are in this country. What if everybody began to pray? What if everybody began to say, God, please, I come to you humbly, humbly, not asking for what we deserve. Don't ever ask that. We need your mercy. We need your grace. We need healed. We have problems. But God, before I point out all the problems of everybody else, search me, oh God, know my heart. Didn't he say, and turn from their wicked ways? Come on, folks, can we just be honest? Even born-again Christians can get involved in wicked things. And little things could creep into our life. And listen to me, it's not just affecting you. It is affecting your nation. And this, you know, little wink, wink at sin all the time, and well, this isn't that bad, and oh well, and oh well. Listen, we need patriots. Patriots. We need patriotism. Well, what does that mean as a Christian? That means the first thing I got to do is make sure I'm right with God. First thing I need to do is make sure I'm saved. Am I part of God's people? I need to get that thing figured out. And look, listen, I say this a lot, but sometimes we just have this moment in this church where I say, stop right now, this second stop, and let's mark this moment on the timeline of your life. Here's where you were born. Here's where you are now. Search up and down that timeline in your mind. Can you find that place, that time, where God brought you under conviction for your sin? And you realized that you were a sinner in need of Jesus Christ, and you understood the gospel that Jesus had died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and prayed and asked Christ to save you. Listen, if that's happened, that's something you're not going to forget. And I'm not talking about, well, I got baptized here, or I joined a church here, or I went through this little religious phase right here, so I'm probably okay. Here's the question. Have you been born again? Let's make sure we take care of that. And then folks that are saved, I mean, this is a great opportunity. Month of July, patriotism and prayer. That's the emphasis. Be the difference. How can I be the difference? Let's make sure we're clean before the Lord. Let's just say, God, you know what? I'm not going to live to try to please the world. I'm not going to care about what social media thinks or doesn't think about who I am, what I do. I just want to be okay with you. I want to be obedient to you. And if there's things in my life that needs to be gotten out, what a way to celebrate. What a way to celebrate our nation's birthday.